have some fun. Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reapers draw near. We're the ones when you're done. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAFAIR or
yeah.
Any of them.
The alphabet soup.
Yeah, we don't even speak that well for ourselves. By the way, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelly
and Mark.
Happy birthday,
happy
Mark.
Birthday.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy birthday.
I was going to say that from boozy news. But it's, well, I guess it's boozy news.
He's old.
There's no news to it.
He's 31.
Yeah. Now, how old were you when you first started to get loaded?
25. Oh, when I first started to get loaded?
Yes.
On what?
Whatever. Anything.
13 when I smoked pot for the first time.
Okay, so
drinking started 13, considerably before that.
You're 44 years old in maturity.
And you just have to invert the numbers.
Yeah.
I started at 13, I got 31 years.
Hey.
Flip them.
How about that? Awesome.
Started drinking early, though.
Yeah. No. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Shelly and I went with the former show host, actually, went to Bass Lake, California, and we went to Yosemite. And, of course, the highlight of the trip, Konigsberg. What the hell is that place called?
Kingsburg.
The Swedish whores?
It's full of Swedish whores, yes.
Painted whores.
Painted whores.
Swedish whores. Or painted Swedish horses. However you'd like to say it.
Yes. Well, I thought she'd said whores when she meant whores.
Sometimes if someone turns their head in the middle of a sentence,
yes.
It changes the whole meaning of it.
Exactly. She said, oh, look, there's your Swedish crap. There's a painted whore in front of McDonald's.
And we went to Bravo
about
Farms.
Lost it.
Do you know what Bravo Farms is? Have you ever been there?
Oh.
It's about 10, 12 miles south of Fresno.
Okay.
It is kitschy. Like, they make cheese there, and, like, the entire place is decorated with, like, road signs from yesteryear. I mean, the whole place is full of, you know, Quaker State Oil, and I mean, it is a really interesting
place.
Totally
I would
adorable.
Imagine if they make cheese there, James knew right where it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It
I have
was
never
excellent
seen
cheese.
One person consume as much cheese at him and spend
a fair amount of
little time in the bathroom as you'd think you'd have to after that much cheese.
Well, it could plug you up for a bit.
They had some excellent cheese,
not
though.
James.
Well,
James
and I'm
is his major food group. So cheese is,
yeah.
You know, that's what he eats. So
I know.
I'm one of those guys, you know, they're giving out the free samples of cheese. So I'm just parked myself in front of it. I'm like, oh, let me have some more of that. Let me have some. They had this aged cheddar.
It was so aged, it was almost Parmesan.
It was
very
so good.
Good, though. It smelled like stinky socks.
And
which
really
you know
aged,
is
perfect.
Yes,
aged
the hallmark
Romano
of a good cheese.
And garlic jack. And
which we still have some of.
Oh, I know. I'm expecting the grilled cheese sandwich with the fabulous cheese. So did you do anything for your birthday? I know you, on Thursday, we're celebrating your birthday this coming week at the meeting.
Yes, we are.
But Thursday, a bunch of people showed up. This is the meeting that, if people don't remember, a few weeks ago, the secretary said, oh, this meeting's going dark and just let it die. And well, how many people were there?
We had 27, I think.
Yeah. Residents from the hospital or back.
It was a full room.
Yeah.
Up from the grave we arose with a mighty fire in our toes. That's not how it goes, but, you know.
No, wait a minute.
It's an old hymn.
But that's not true, right?
What?
Up from the grave he rose?
Oh, let's not go into that now.
Her pastor told me something.
Uh-oh.
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 Yep.
Oh, my
Getting
goodness.
Getting called out.
Speaking of.
It's my friend Nathan. Talks amongst yourselves for a second.
What are we supposed to talk about? We're supposed to talk amongst ourselves. We're rolling, yeah. We're going here. So, yeah. So, no. Nothing big and special for my birthday. I worked.
You worked.
Yep.
Yeah, but you have brownies now.
I have brownies now. Shelly made me butterscotch-filled birthday brownies.
Nathan and Trish are on the way over.
Trish the dish?
Well, I hope they don't have the baby with them.
If they have the baby with them, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, because this room is full of smoke.
Well, then we'll have to take
we'll
a quick
pause.
Break. A pause. So, by the way, speaking of pauses.
Yeah.
Let's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
This takes considerably longer to get to the spot than it did before. You know?
That's what happens when you expand the studio.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, the studio is flipping huge now.
Oh, yes, clearly. Okay, we have shout-outs to Eric, Randy, Alexandria, Jane, Debbie, Damon, I Am Bill, Elizabeth, Fran, Stryker, Sally, Dan, John, Georgette, Neil, Natalie, Carol, Joey, James, Dakota, Jack, and Monty.
Isn't there anybody else?
Ooh.
That sounds like every listener we have right there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just noticed I downloaded the Podomatic app.
Yes.
On my phone.
On your semi-intelligent phone?
We have a show that's up that's had 1.4 million downloads.
Oh, yeah?
Just that one show.
Just the one show. Yeah.
And it happened to be a week when you weren't there, we had Greg on.
Yeah,
well, No. It was right at the very beginning. Mark hadn't even been on at all yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost
forgot. I think
it's
had so many downloads because it's been up the longest.
So long, yeah.
There's another one with like 645,000 downloads on one show.
I almost forgot. We have a birthday shout out to Andrea, 17 years.
Andrea,
yes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Let's see. Now I can't figure out where I'm going. Oh, okay.
Start at the very beginning.
You know what I've noticed, though? We don't have the kazoos in here.
We don't.
And the first story is the hero of the week, so you guys have to fake it.
That made my lips like
numb.
No, like ticklish.
Sergeant Joseph Serna, he is not the hero.
Okay.
Well, he is a hero because
he's a cop.
Sergeant.
He's
in the military and he fought for us.
A hero.
He was a special forces soldier. He did 4 combat tours in Afghanistan over a 2-decade career. He was almost killed 3 times. He has problems now that he's home and he's out of the military. He's got problems with PTSD and he's had some, a couple of DUIs. And he entered the Veterans Treatment Court Program in Cumberland County, North Carolina. And he's been fighting to stay sober. They have to go every single week to drug test and see the judge and stuff like that.
Tell him to quit fighting.
And he admitted to the judge at one of the things that the previous week he'd lied to him about whether or not he'd been drinking. And the judge sentenced him to 24 hours in jail. However, the judge, District Court Judge Lou Oliveira, and he is the hero, was a former soldier himself and came back and had to wrestle with his own demons. So they go to take Sergeant Serna to jail. He shuts down his court, goes with him, and serves the day with him. Sat in the cell with him. And they talked about, stuff relating to the military and PTSD and their feelings and stuff like that.
That's cool.
That is very cool. He said, and I'm quoting the judge here, he said, when Joe first came to turn himself in, he was trembling. I decided I'd spend the night serving with him. And I thought that was...
I don't ever recall
cool.
any judges offering to serve any time with me. The hell?
Yeah, and you almost died 3 times, at least.
At least.
The judge was quoted as saying, they've worn the uniform. We know we can be contributing members of society, so we just want to get them back there.
Hero of the week.
Yes. Bruce found this next story. He actually called me from work to tell me to look it up. In Oklahoma City...
I don't remember what this is at all.
Dante Rashad Anderson was arrested on April 15th.
Three names.
The complaint was robbery by force or fear. He walked into, first at 10:45 a.m. on the 15th, he walked into a Carl's Jr. restaurant and began screaming and demanding food. The employees were able to get him to leave, so he walked across the street to Arby's. He decided he wasn't going to bother screaming and demanding food. He went behind the counter and just started stealing Arby's. He grabbed handfuls of bacon and chicken and then walked out. And he's, you know, the whole time he's screaming and having fits and stuff. On his way out, he broke the front glass doors.
That's a crime.
You're supposed to open those.
Yeah. Now he just basically went right through them. The police department sergeant said he was possibly under the influence of some narcotic or intoxicant or suffering from some sort of break with reality.
Duh.
Because he said he was from 4 years in the future, and this is how people get food in that period of time.
Wow.
4 years.
Yeah, just 4 years.
I wonder who got elected that makes it where you can only get food by going back in time.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after he left, he started jumping and kicking cars. In fact, several of them were severely dented. I mean, he was on quite a tear there. During the last one, he jumped up and down. I'm quoting here. He jumped up and down like he was Chuck Norris and kicked the crap out of my car. He kicked it so hard you could feel the momentum of it. And that was when he broke his ankle.
He was on fire, that guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dante.
Could you imagine, though?
The inferno.
Can you walk into an Arby's with the reaction of the employees? If you just walked in, walked behind the counter, walked over to the slicer, sliced yourself some beef, threw it on a bun.
Yeah.
Put some horseshoe sauce on it and left. I don't think they'd know what to do. You say a word to anybody. Yeah. Just walk in and do it. And they're like,
who's
is that a district manager?
Yeah. My name's Arby. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
I knew a guy named Arby. I knew a guy named Arby. There was a guy I worked with at Earthlink named Arby.
Middle name Quentin?
I don't. Actually, to be honest with you, I don't even remember what his last name was.
The next story was sent in by Bill. I thought it was kind of interesting. It's a story about biodiversity. A group of scientists are, you know, when you think of looking for new biodiversity, where do you think of looking? You think of looking in the jungles or the wilderness or whatever. However, 43 species that have been found. The Los Angeles Natural History Museum has put a team together to search for biodiversity in Los Angeles, and they have found 43 new species of insect that were unknown before. Now, Bill's comment to
all
of this...
That's kind
of
scary.
It is kind of scary because these things have evolved in an urban environment. Now, Bill's main comment to this was that if I was in charge of it, the slipper of death would have put paid to the project before it even got started.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
But I thought that was interesting.
What are these, like, you know, they found, like, you know, addict cockroaches, you know, cockroaches that are slamming?
They're mostly different kinds of flies, gnats, flying insects, ants, things like that.
Hmm.
I thought that was... Bill also sent this one in. If you like to eat bananas, you better eat fast.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah. Now, the banana that we eat now is called the Cavendish banana. However, the Cavendish banana, which... people say is not as good as the banana from before the 1960s. There was a banana plague back then that pretty much wiped out the entire banana industry. There were no bananas, period. Yes, we have no bananas. And then the Cavendish strain was developed because it was resistant to that particular fungus. So that's the one we eat now. However, now there is a new fungus or disease. And I'm looking for the name, Fusarium wilt.
Does it affect plantains?
It doesn't say plantains, it just says bananas.
Plantains are like bananas, right?
I think they're in the same genus, but they're not the same species.
Okay.
So it's emigrated from Asia and parts of Australia into the rest of, you know, South America and everything. So, we're going to be looking at not so many bananas and
a banana famine
and higher banana prices. So they are now quickly trying to develop a new type of banana to replace the Cavendish.
Is it going to be a GMO banana?
I don't know. I don't like bananas anyway, so I don't care.
I do.
I know you do.
I do too.
I only like bananas if they're like fried with brown sugar.
I like them like that also.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that good to me. I'll tell you how I really like banana though. Well, besides, like, I like a banana on cereal, but I really like the chocolate dipped frozen banana.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bill sent this story in. There's a seaside town in France called Arcachon. There we go.
Arcaholic. Okay.
Yes. They have, for many years, they've had a 3-meter tall statue of the mythological hero Heracles. It was erected in the town square in 1948.
Good thing it wasn't erect.
Then it would be Hercules.
Well, that is the problem.
Uh-oh. How do you get a statue erect?
Well, it's not that it's erect. It's just that it was a very...
lifelike?
Biologically accurate statue.
So it's not like the Ken
doll. So if it's 3 meters tall...
Yeah. He had quite a Schwanstucker.
Must be quite a Schwanstucker.
Yeah.
Doctor.
He's definitely not the Ken doll.
He's not the Ken doll. The only problem is that people have repeatedly removed his Schwanstucker.
Oh, Bobbit.
Yes, and they've tried various methods of reattaching a phallus to this thing, and they put like a steel rod in there to put the and concreted one in, and they've done all kinds of stuff, but people still keep stealing this basically stone dildo. I mean, it's, you know. So
the video is soon to come out.
Yeah. So what they've done now, because it's starting to get a little pricey because this is happening so often, and they have to, and the actual sculptor is dead now, so they have to like guesstimate. What they've done is they've created a new one that can be removed. So if you go and look on any day other than a day where they're having some kind of town celebration,
it's not there.
All you see is his little happy sacks hanging down and a steel rod sticking out. That's it. There's no
tell them if they want to keep it, if they want to keep it safe, just put a condom on it.
That's right.
And they also have foreshortened it because some of the town matrons complained that it was a bit too exuberant in its size.
They shortened it because now we know who's been stealing it all the time. It's
the town matron.
Old matrons, because they're like, it's too big. Can you make it somewhat smaller?
Yeah, really.
More usable.
User-friendly.
User-friendly.
Yeah. So you can go online.
They're all user-friendly.
If you look up, type in Arcachon or French Heracles statue, you can see the before and after pictures.
How about statue dick?
Statue dick. There you go. Probably.
France statue dick.
Yeah.
Let me see how much time we've got on here. We've got time for a few more. Elizabeth sent this one in, Nashville, Tennessee.
Lizzie.
Nashville.
Actually, this is two.
Wait, who sent it in?
Elizabeth.
From
Brandon
Nashville?
Sent this in?
No. Well, there's two stories here that I've stuck together because they're both waste of water stories. 24-year-old Kelsey McMurtry was arrested for child endangerment. She and her friend drove to a strip club to audition to be strippers and decided they were just going to leave the kid in the car.
Trying to take care of her family.
Well, they left.
I support single mothers.
With dollar bills?
Yes.
They left a 6-month-old infant strapped in her seat in the car with it locked. Now, it was only 72 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Inside the car, it was 100 degrees.
Yeah.
So they were both brought up on charges.
That won't hurt you.
I'm thinking, okay.
They're just trying to raise the kid.
So that one of them.
There's something noble about this. Don't ask me what.
Okay, the one, Kelsey McMurtry, she went with her friend. She was the one who was auditioning. The intelligent thing to do would be to have her friend, Summer Taylor, who went with her, take the child out of the car and babysit the child while you're auditioning to do the stripper thing.
But that's
not what they did.
So wait, the girl named Summer Taylor wasn't the one auditioning to be a stripper?
I know.
She already
amazing.
Has a stripper name.
Yeah, she has a porn name.
And also, this is a waste of water story, but not because of the kids. Two kids turned their dad into the cops. He picked them up. This is in Nebraska. He picked them up to take them out to dinner. got a little bit hammered. The kids said that Ethan, 12, and Mackenzie, 14, told their dad they didn't want to get in the car with him because he was drunk. And they, and I'm quoting here, "We don't want to die. We don't want to go with you anymore." But, you know, they're kids. So what they did was they made a pact that if their dad got close to having an accident, they would take action. So they had the phone in Nebraska. Now they have a system, a 911 system, where you can text a 911 call into the police.
Oh, cool.
So people that are in a dangerous situation that can't actually make a call, they could, you know,
send a text.
They could send a text. So what the kids did was they put all the information into a text, and she had, the older girl, Mackenzie, had her finger on the send button. And when
you hit a bump,
the first time dad swerved out of the lane, she hit send.
Oh.
They convinced him to pull over into a Burger King because they had to go to the bathroom. By that time, the police caught up with him and arrested him. He blew 3 times the legal limit.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes.
What a dipshit.
And the kids thanked the police and said, "Thank you. You really, really, really saved our lives."
He said, "Here you go. Off to foster care.
Off to foster care."
Yeah. They said, "What?"
I think the police probably took them back to their mother.
Yeah. Oh.
Why did the 14-year-old just drive home?
It is Nebraska.
You're in Nebraska.
It is Nebraska.
That's true.
You get a daytime driver's license at, what, 12 or something?
Yeah, I don't know, something.
For farm equipment.
Fran sent this next story in, which
is
fantastic.
Which is evidence of the fact that we have all lost what... When you think of having a sense of humor, people, this is not it. Madeline Joan Kay, 22 years old.
Three names again.
Three names, but it's... I don't know if it's... Maybe she was drunk when it happened. I don't know. She sent an extortion note to the next door neighbor that said that if she wanted to have her kitten returned in one piece, she would give her $20.
Wow.
First of all, $20? You're going to send an extortion note for $20?
Because it carries the same penalty.
Yeah. Why not go for $20,000? I mean, or whatever.
$25,000
anyway. Why not go to the ATM?
The woman immediately called the police.
Yeah, you think?
When the police showed up, Kay said, denied all knowledge of the kitten or where she was. But after being read her rights, she admitted to sending the threatening text and that she'd been out drinking with friends. She stated in her police report that the messages were representations of humor.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was just a laugh riot,
that was
wasn't it?
Funny.
Yeah, it was.
Ha ha.
Great.
Oh, are we going to pause now?
Or we could end the news.
Yeah, will be.
No, not the baby.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we got to pause.
Pause.
I want you to send the news. Why don't we end the news?
Oh, we should end the news.
We should end the news? Okay, yes. And that is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back. After, you guys don't even know. It was a lengthy break.
It's Tuesday now.
Yeah, it was a lengthy break because our friends Nathan and Trish bought their new baby over. Well, not new baby, but they've kind of kept him away from the program for a while, I think, to do the whole bonding thing. It was the first time we'd seen him in person besides in, like, Snapchat or pictures on Facebook. So it was quite a thing. It was for a while. Now, Shelley, we got a topic from my friend Neil. And I thought it was interesting because part of his thing he said in his email is he listens to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I can't really figure out the reason that someone who is not in recovery at all listens to every single show. So apparently he's listening to every single show.
Because Shelley's funny when she does the news.
That's true.
I don't know about that.
Well, his topic, which we're going to call swap meet, is addiction swapping.
Which we've done before.
But he's got a wee bit of a different take on it. You know, his idea is, you know, are we destined, addicts and alcoholics, are we destined, just because we give up the alcohol or the drugs, are we destined to swap those out for something else? You know, he and I used to do a lot of online gaming together, and I was sober then. I mean, I did a lot of online gaming. Right now, I have a little bit of Candy Crush addiction, Candy Crush soda addiction, Angry Birds thing going on.
And you're back to doing the online gaming.
No.
Yeah, Chain of Command or whatever that is, Command and Conquer.
But I don't play anybody online with
you're
that.
You're going to because James is about to download it.
No, he did download it.
Yeah.
But we haven't played it.
But you're going to.
Maybe.
Yeah, you are.
You're
setting yourself up.
You're already doing it. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Oh.
But then there's many other things.
Wow, justification.
How many people?
He's in denial. Should we do one on denial?
How many people? Yeah, it's not just a river in Egypt. Yeah. How many people switch for many things? I would be willing to say there's probably a Facebook addiction. There's probably an Instagram addiction. There's probably a Snapchat addiction. There's probably
of cocaine and meth addicts. Somehow food starts to taste real good when you are no longer using.
Well, because you'll actually eat.
Yeah.
Well, and I've noticed that there are a lot of people in recovery that suddenly become extremely interested in fitness and sports to the exclusion of all else.
Right.
Sometimes I've seen people in the rooms get recovery, get a year. They get so into the fitness thing that they leave the rooms.
Well, and here's
whatever
the thing.
Works.
And here's the thing. And we've talked about this many times on the show. One of the reasons you get sober is so you can go have a life again. And if you're doing something healthy that's like fitness or long distance running or yoga or whatever it is, and that starts monopolizing a lot of your time because now you're getting back into life, I would say don't stop going to meetings ever. But you know,
but I don't think that was the direction this topic was going to go.
I don't think so. So, what do we think, Mark? What do you think? Are we destined? Are we destined to have certain addictions?
I think we are, because we have addictive personalities.
True. We got a dick personality, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, so we get into things, and you know, it's just like the same thing about how technical do you want to make the readings in the meetings. I mean, cocaine and all other mind-altering substances
could cover a lot of things.
Are these sure make me happier when I'm smoking them?
Nicotine?
Cigars make me happy when I smoke them.
Sex has got a lot of dopamine associated with it.
You know.
Foods? There's a lot of people get very, very happy eating food.
The guy who drinks 2 monster drinks a day and who's in the program and calls himself clean and drug free and he's shoved 7 servings of caffeine into his body.
That's true.
You know, I mean, so where do you draw the line? You know, coffee. Yeah. 10, 12 cups of coffee.
Well, there would be many people in a certain program that would say we're the purists and Narcotics Anonymous purists would say you shouldn't be doing any of that.
But they serve coffee.
Not at some of the meetings.
And that doesn't mean that the purists necessarily drink it.
Doesn't mean
if they're serving it.
Doesn't make them right just because they say it.
No, that's true. In this program, nobody's right just by saying something. Yeah. If that were true.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
man.
Well, I look at it this way. Since I don't steal food yet, and I don't steal from other people to get food, and I don't, like, stay up for, like, 3 days straight eating and things like that, I don't think I have a food addiction. I just think I'm fat.
Well, I used to grow weed when I was in Oregon. And it's like I didn't steal to get weed, and I didn't do any of that stuff to get weed because I was growing it. It was readily available. But, you know, I think for me, the addiction or the properties of addiction is where that's the thing above all else.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've heard of it for sure with gaming, with certain games. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft. Guys that don't live. We knew a guy. This guy, Mike. He had a fiance who left him.
He didn't notice for 2 weeks?
He would come home from work on Friday night, and he'd start playing World of Warcraft, and he would play straight through till Monday morning before work. And then he would get up and go to work. And she goes, I can't hang with that. And she even plays the game. She just doesn't play it like him. Yeah. I have a guy, matter of fact, that we went to Yosemite with James. He was working for me. He was playing World of Warcraft at the store at work. And I fired him. Well, because I gave him a chance to get rid of it, and then he reinstalled it, and, you know, we had a thing. Mm-hmm. And that's all been resolved a long time. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing, though, where this was a guy, he wasn't new in the program. Mm-hmm. He had 10 or 12 or 15 years mm-hmm. sober then, and got so caught up in something, it was taking the place of regular things. And to me, that's where addiction, you know, if I could have done drugs and alcohol in a way that it didn't interfere with anything else, I'd still be getting loaded.
Absolutely. If they still worked for me.
Right.
I'd probably be doing it.
Yeah.
But it quit working.
Now, how about you, Shelly? I mean, you got a little crochet addiction?
Yes.
You got a little reading addiction? You got a little Kindle addiction?
Kindle addiction.
You got
yes,
a little
definitely.
Fish World addiction?
No. I have hardly played Fish World at all in the last few weeks.
Wait. Do you play Fish World every day?
Yeah, I log in for like 10 minutes and do the spins. And I don't have to.
Do you do it at the same time pretty much every time?
Well, that's just because that's when I'm on the computer. Because
that already gets you a yes on one on the 20 questions. You do it at a certain time daily.
Yeah. Because that's when I'm on the computer with my coffee.
Now,
that's an unfair question,
though. If you answer yes to even one, you might have a problem.
That's an unfair question, though. Did you do it at a certain time? Does all count? I did it a certain time every day, all the time, every day.
I think they constructed that to be like the guys that get off work
and go have a drink immediately. Where were you going with it, Shelly?
Yeah, so give us your addictions, Shelly.
Well, definitely caffeine and nicotine. But caffeine and nicotine are subtractive addictions rather than additive addictions. If you're addicted to coke or heroin or whatever, you're putting something in your body to change your mental state. It adds to that. If you take away the nicotine and the caffeine, then you get angry. Because it doesn't, while I'm smoking... My mental state doesn't change. I'm still doing all the stuff I do, and
my mental state didn't change while I did cocaine. It was when I ran out.
Wait. Well, so
you didn't do cocaine to get high?
I was already high because I did cocaine all the time. It was when I ran out that I got into a bad mood. I should really get a prescription.
No, I would say...
See, I drank to add in the feeling that I wanted.
Oh.
If I take away the caffeine... Mm-hmm. Then suddenly I get feelings that I don't want.
I couldn't differentiate between the two.
So, Shelly, let's say...
I am the doctor's opinion.
So, Shelly, let's say you're sitting around one day.
Uh-huh.
And you haven't had a smoke.
Right.
Start getting feeling all nervous and twitchy and all that. So you're not doing the smoke to get rid of those twitchy, nervous feelings?
I'm smoking a cigarette to get straight, not to get loaded.
No. Why would you have to get straight?
Because my bodily level of nicotine dropped below a certain level.
Because you're an addict.
Right. I'm not denying that. Oh. You said, what are your addictions? I said caffeine, nicotine.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is
that a lot of people in the program smoke and drink coffee. They don't, those things don't make them high. Those things don't necessarily impair them or have negative impacts on their lives at the moment.
Remember our good friend Randy?
Yeah.
Now, Randy used to imbibe a little caffeine.
Okay, Randy was... you think I'm out of control with my pot of coffee every day? I drink one pot of coffee. Randy was way over the top.
Randy would drink 5 cups of coffee at the meeting. go to coffee at Starbucks after the meeting, have 2 5-shot lattes. In between, he goes down to go shopping at Albertsons and picks up a monster drink and was just zinging. And I think that goes along to what Mark was saying earlier. You know, it's like if you're drinking a bunch of monster drinks, you look like someone that's been doing speed.
Yeah. I mean, you're just substituting that for the drug. Now, I don't fault it. Because, you know, it's just, it's a choice everybody gets to make.
Yeah. You
know, well, and there's the story in the big book about...
I don't drink monster drinks. You know,
the guy whose wife nagged him to quit drinking mm-hmm. coffee and smoking after he'd gotten sober, and he ended up going back out. Not that it was her fault. It right. was absolutely his fault. When I got sober, my sponsor forbade me from quitting smoking until mm-hmm. I had 5 years. She said, when you get 5 years, then we can talk about it.
Mine gave me 18 months.
Oh, well, my sponsor's a little more lenient, I guess.
I quit smoking cigarettes 18 months to the day after I came in the program.
Well, I'm still smoking, and I shouldn't be. I'm too old for this crap.
So what else? What other things do addicts and alcoholics typically look like they're addicts to?
Well, are they destined to pick to do something else?
Yeah, that's the whole thrust of this is, are we destined to find something else to be addicted to?
So what do you think, Shelley?
Yeah, absolutely I am. Because right, one of my big addictions, and I would call it an addiction, is crafting things. You know, I crochet, I bead, I've started with the rug hooking thing again. I mean, I'm hooking again. for me, though, it actually is conducive to prayer because I pray into everything I crochet.
When you were talking about...
It calms my mind. It stops my brain from spinning, which is one of the reasons that I drank.
I can say this absolutely, positively, and know that it's correct. Helly.
Woo, new name.
Wow. Now I know. I just
my name is Helly, and I'm an alcoholic.
Helly. That's when you're having a raving nana. I'm going to Helly. That's Helly over there.
Helly on wheelies.
Are you... I completely forgot where I was going.
Perfect. So...
I had to do something with... If... then you're like, say you're crocheting and this and that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're addicted to that or no?
Not in the same way.
Because you do it a lot.
I do. Well, it's because
you do it at meetings, you do it at coffee, you do it at home sitting here.
Because it has... Okay, the reason we drank and used, one of the reasons, is because we got a personal positive feedback from it. It made us feel better. It made us feel right.
Yeah, clearly.
Even long after it quit doing that, it still made us feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I make a scarf, not only do I feel good while I'm doing it because I pray into everything that I make, it calms my brain, stops me from spinning for a while. And then when I'm done with it, I have this thing that I give away and it makes me feel good to give something to somebody. So it's the
positive. You can't keep it unless you give it away.
So I feel like I'm attracted to something or addicted to something that has positive reinforcement for not just for me, but for other people. Whereas before, the thing I was addicted to only had a positive reinforcement for me and a negative reinforcement for everybody else until it got to the point where it was a negative reinforcement all around.
Do we as addicts and alcoholics who get a little time, do we tend to overclassify the addiction side of anything people do in excess?
Yes.
I think we do too. It's like,
it's like they say in the CA reading, someone can't classify another as an addict. So, yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
People do it all the time.
No, well, you do it. That's
you're
your
talking
opinion.
About if
yeah,
we
that's
do
our opinion.
It. Yeah, you just brought it up. Do we do that? Oh, hell yeah,
well,
we
yeah,
do.
Yeah, we do it.
Yeah.
Should
I mean,
we?
We do it all the time. Well, should we is a big difference than do we.
Should we?
Well, I don't know. You know, because there's times... I would say that there's times when I have
this
sat...
This bleeding over into the topic of the next show.
No, yeah. there are times when I have sat in front of my store, mm-hmm. and I've seen someone come by who's clearly effed up. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at him. Look, I know the dude's an addict. I can see it in him. I can tell. But it's like, I'll talk to this guy like he's an addict. Only be, and it's just a guy that's walking by in the street. But, you know, we have that sixth sense about dope fiends and alcoholics.
Yes.
That's why
we
you can go to a completely new town and find dope, like, immediately. Because you can just, you know the right guys to walk up to. So it's like, I'm looking at this guy. I don't know this guy. I'm classifying his as an addict. Jeez. It's my mother who calls every time when we're recording. Ah, that's perfect. So, Shelly, what do you think about what do you tell sponsees? Have you ever told them? Have you ever looked at a sponsee and thought they were doing too much of one thing and told them to chill out on it? Classified them as an addict?
No. But most of my sponsees were new enough that their main focus was recovery or dudes, and I don't treat the dude issue.
I don't treat the dude issue.
I don't
issue.
Have anything to do. I don't want to deal with their dude issue. What you do do.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. Do you see that?
I think the difference between the two things, like my crafting addiction and my alcohol addiction, is I can put down my crochet hooks and do something else. And before, I had to find a way to fit the alcohol into everything I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was that all-consuming. Mm-hmm. And the other aspect of that is, in the morning, I get up, I do my little Facebook craps, I post the daily devotional for the church, I do my spins on Fish World for 10 minutes. When I'm done with that, I go to work. You know, I write or I work on other things. I don't actually start crafting until later in the afternoon once I've done with that and I've done some housework and stuff like that. It's something I want to do.
To unwind.
Right. But
like having a couple drinks.
Exactly. But it doesn't interfere the way the alcohol did.
If you suddenly had to put it down to go do something important, it wouldn't be an issue.
No.
If after six glasses of whatever, you had to suddenly put it down to do something important.
It would be a problem.
Yeah.
It'd be a big problem.
Yeah, you know.
So, could you stop reading?
I don't have to stop reading because I have audiobooks.
She just listens to me.
Well, no.
I can just listen and
do
stuff at the
same
time.
No, the reason I was going to say, one of the things you had said earlier is, you know, the things I did in the past was just clearly for my, the things I was addicted to in the past was just clearly for my own benefit. Now, when you're listening to audiobooks,
yeah,
whose other benefit is that for?
She's increasing her intelligence.
Me?
Yes.
How does that benefit me?
Because if I can't put on my damned headphones to get away from you for an hour, I'm going to kill you.
Half the time, most of the time, I'm not even here.
I was kidding.
No. So, I knew you were kidding.
Going back to this whole, we've collectively lost our sense of humor.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, I find it completely humorous.
You know, I see a lot of people
she'll wear
out
headphones
there
all day, but if she gets in the car and the music's on, she goes, oh, my God, that's too loud.
I see people and classify them as somebody who has a drinking problem. I don't classify them as an alcoholic, though. I just don't believe in it. I think that is something very personal to each person. Until you say you are, you're not.
Well, you're not to you.
You're just
everyone
not.
Else can look at you and go, dude, you
guys got a drinking. You got a drinking problem. You should take care of that.
Yeah,
but it's up to you as to why you have a what's the root of it. Oh, I'm an alcoholic. You know.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's something we have to watch. You know, we just have to watch so we don't become judge and jury.
Okay, judge and jury. Speaking of that, okay.
That sounds like a topic.
I think we're doing it.
Another way to look at it is what you're doing having a negative effect on other people? Is it harming them? So when I'm crocheting, is it harming you, Bruce?
You mean not having any interaction with you? Not having any meaningful discussions with my wife? Not spending any us time? I don't know, is it?
And what are you doing while I'm crocheting?
Depends. Sometimes, like last night, I was sitting at coffee, just sitting there. Didn't even have a computer plugged in or anything, just sat there.
Paddle left.
You had the headphones on listening to an audiobook and we're playing a game.
And you were doing what?
Pedal the right?
Sitting, because we didn't have a table with a...
So you weren't playing any games on your phone or looking at anything on your phone?
I was not. I didn't have any. I haven't played that game on my phone since before we went to Yosemite.
That's a lie. That is a big fat lie. Oh my gosh, he played the game in the car. It was driving James crazy.
We hadn't been to Yosemite yet. It was on the way up there. I played one game of it on the 7-hour drive. 1 half-hour, maybe 20-minute game. Actually, I don't even think it's that long. One of those games is about 15 minutes. That was before Yosemite. I did not lie at all.
Do you think that your technology addiction harms other people?
No, I don't care.
Yeah, as he's sitting there on his phone.
When we're driving back from coffee.
Yeah.
He's just been on his computer for 2.5 hours while we were at coffee. Mm-hmm. On the way back, he pulls out his phone so that he can look at Snapchat and Instagram or whatever the heck it is. Or play that game that goes, pow, 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 pow. Oh my gosh, the noise from that thing is incredible.
It's not even that much.
What are you doing right now, Bruce?
Sending someone a text so they will stop texting us while we're recording the show. Okay. Got texts from 3 different people and a phone call from my mother.
That all know we're doing the show right now.
Everybody should know we're doing. We do the show the same time every week, the same nights, and they call and come over. And a lot of times the first thing will be like from my mother. Are you recording the show? Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Yes, I am. So, Mark, what would you say? So we've kind of determined that, we think that most addicts and alcoholics are doomed to be addicted to something. Sometimes they're good things like fitness. You can be addicted to fitness. You could be addicted to being a good mother. You can. I mean, there's lots of things you could do, but is it something that then we necessarily need to worry about?
Well, addicted to fitness, I mean, there's a thing about getting fit and working out and getting into a regimen that's like really serious and literally getting addicted to fitness.
Well, like there is such a thing as fitness.
Well, like
addiction.
I've noticed that people that do a lot of fitness, so like for instance, one of their seeming addictions is they start to eat well. And I mean, they eat well and they're going to get very
lean,
very interested in having the right kinds of food. So then they're going to go to the right markets and the right this.
But how's that an addiction? That's getting healthy.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
but we classify anything people do to excess as an addiction. Because we've suddenly become like the experts on it or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just checking. I would classify myself as a better than average knowledge of addictive behaviors.
As judge and jury.
I don't think you have to be the judge and jury to say, you know what, that guy's addicted to meth. Or we had a friend addicted to fishing. He was addicted to fishing. And like,
he even threw fish in his own pool.
He put bass in his own pool, like got the chlorine all cleared out of his pool, put bass in his pool. He put bass in his 150-gallon fish tank and dragged lures through the water to see how they reacted to it. Fausto.
Yeah, I know.
He goes, I know exactly what it is. He would go and he'd buy a fishing reel on sale. And he'd buy 7 of them. And I'm like, what are you going to do with 7 reels? He's like, I'm going to put them on 7 poles. That's right. I'm like,
do you have 7 poles? I have 100 poles.
Dude, he had a zillion.
Yeah.
Now, some people would say, well, he's fishing. Yeah. I know a lot of people like that. Yeah. Fausto eventually got to the point where he said, you know what? I'm doing this way too much. I'm not seeing my kids. I'm not seeing my wife. I'm spending all my money on fishing gear. And it was really... that what would seem like it wasn't that big a deal because he liked to go fishing suddenly became something that became a big deal. It's almost like when I used to drink and it didn't seem like a big deal. And then eventually it became a big deal. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to stop.
But fishing still worked for him.
Yeah, but it didn't work for everyone around him.
It's true.
And you know what? Because a lot of times, you know what? I could have probably kept smoking weed. Weed worked every time I smoked it. It always worked when I smoked it. Now, I switched over to cocaine and speed, so I didn't really do much weed anymore. But probably, like, if I went out and smoke some weed, it would work. I guarantee it would work.
If I went out and smoked weed now, would you think less of me?
If you did what?
If I went out and started smoking weed now, would you think less of me?
No, I'd you'd be a topic for another show.
That's I was going to say, we'd certainly hear less from you because we'd be like, be on the show.
No, you know what it'd be like? We'd be like, what happens with people who lots and lots of time go out?
I didn't use cocaine.
Yeah, you can go to AA then.
That's right.
Claim sobriety. Singleness of purpose.
That's right.
There's also another question in the 20 questions that when you want to stop, do you find that you cannot? That's, for me, that's a hallmark of, you know, I could never tell myself when to stop drinking once I'd started for the day.
When it ran out?
I always engineered it so that I didn't. So I had enough.
I did my best to do that.
Yeah.
Too.
I made sure I had enough fifths in the house that I could get through the whole day up to bedtime. But if I have a bunch of stuff to do and I really want to read, well, I can't read until I finish other stuff. I could never do that with booze. I can definitely do that with other things that I enjoy.
Well, there was used to be the thing where they'd say, do you think you could stop drinking for a year? Now, we don't, and it says in the big book, we don't think you'll be able to stop anywhere near that long.
Okay, I'm not going to stop reading for a year.
So you know how you know
if well, a guy's... And I was going to ask you, could you stop reading for a year?
No.
Could you stop audiobooks for a year?
I'm reading that sign right now. No.
Could you stop crocheting for a year?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, just knit. Switching addictions.
Yeah, I'd just find, I'd bead instead.
In your entire life, watch this. And I don't mean like read a package or read a license plate or read, I mean like read a book. Have you ever gone for more than a day without reading a book or listening to an audiobook?
Yes.
More than a week?
Maybe, maybe not.
Since
it depends.
Since you were 12?
I don't know if I've gone a week without doing that.
Because sometimes I get reading constipation and nothing seems like I really want to do it. So I just
That's when reading stopped working for you.
TV or do something else.
Well,
those
must have been horrible books. Because for Shelley to change from a book to TV,
That was either some good TV or some bad books.
Combination of the two.
You know how you can tell if a guy's got a workout problem? If he can't walk past his reflection without stopping to look at it and flex something.
Yeah. V up.
Yeah. So, Shelley, what would your final words on the subject be?
Yes. We're doomed to be addicted to something. The difference is, does it negatively affect your life? And if it does, do something about it.
Mark?
I think it's something that we all lean towards. And it's just part of our personality, but we have dealt with the things that are the issues before us, which is what got us here and keeps us here.
I have some final words.
What a shock.
If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. If you don't like what you're getting, do something different. It really fits that. It really does. Of course, it really fits a lot of things. Mark?
Yes?
Who are friends back in the Inland Empire and back east?
That would be the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. And 12stepgazette.com/IE.
IE.
Where you can read the East Coast and West Coast versions of those two publications. Go on up, check them out, and support.
Awesome. Shelley, people listen to the show.
Still?
Again.
We hope so.
Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our site, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics. If you're not a member, you'll have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
You can like old shows. You can leave comments. You can leave topic suggestions. You can follow us. That will get you automatic updates when we post the shows, and you can put us on playlists for all your party needs. If you are, and if you are a member of Facebook, you can log in automatically with Facebook. They don't spam you, and it only takes 2 seconds.
Sweet,
dude. Sweet.
Shelley, you have a book.
I do. It's Shelley Burnett Updated Her Status. It's available on Amazon. It is a social media diary, basically. And it is available for Kindle through Amazon. But if you have another device that you'd like to read it on, you can download the free Kindle reading app and read it that way.
My aunt and uncle did that.
Yes.
Yes.
I wonder who got them to do that.
My mother, for sure.
I know.
My mother, for sure. If you are Facebook friendly, it's real easy to join Podomatic, like Shelley said. You just click login with Facebook. If you are Facebook friendly and you would like to like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, we would appreciate that. You can also, if you want to be a little more secretive about your addiction, alcoholic life on Facebook, you know, keep it hidden from your employers or family or whatever, you can join the secret group.
Shh.
And, of course, it's secret, so you won't be able to find it. And they're like, oh, thanks, Bruce. Yeah. You can go to the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, and you can send us a message there if you'd like to be added to the secret group. Or you can message Bill Piper, Shelley Burnett, Bruce Burnett, and we will we'll friend you and add you to the group. We have an email address, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send us topics like this topic was sent to us through email. You can send us, if you are in a recovery band or you're a recovery performer, you'd like us to use your music as lead out music on the show. You can send us an MP3, which is the preferred format, or two. You send us a picture that you would like us to make a clickable link with, and then a web location you'd like that clickable link to go to. And we will do that for free and for fun. Let's see. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn serious.
Sweet.
Dude.
Dude.
Tweet.
Okay. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Long as you've got love for me.